good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again, as we've been doing for over 30 years now here in this neck of the woods, because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then with our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia and the surrounding area. And what a joy it is just to partner together, to come and sit at the feet of the Lord and gaze into His eyes and let Him speak to us heart to heart. Well, I'm really excited because I'm starting a new portrait of God for the next 4 weeks. As you know, if you've been tuning in for any period of time, all of my messages reflect a portrait of God, because I see the scriptures as giving us portrait after portrait after portrait of the Lord Himself, so we can get to know the Lord's heart and His ways. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going several places, and we'll start in Matthew chapter 11 today, as I have just been poring over the theme of how the Lord is our humble heart. We're going to be talking about humility, 12 takeaways and passages that I have for us to help us really know what it is to receive and walk in His humility, because He is our humble heart. And as you're making your way over to Matthew chapter 11, well, we will start our journey at looking at these 12 takeaways over the next 4 weeks. Just a reminder that all of these radio messages are 27 minutes and archived on my website, markpg.org. That's markpg.org. And you can catch up if you missed it, or listen to them again, or refer them to others as you would like. And by the way, when you get to that landing page at markpg.org, you'll click on the broadcasts box. But there are other boxes, like for videos, and you can see 3-minute devotional videos on portraits of God. You'll see another one about articles I've written for publications that you can read about the whispers of God. You'll also see some quick guides, you know, one-page outlines and diagrams on all kinds of devotional topics and hot topics and church topics that will help you in your journey with the Lord, all of them designed to help you hear God. So that's at markpg.org. Now, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, we are very grateful that You welcome us into Your presence. I mean, You're always there for us. We can come and sit at Your feet at any time, personally, or with our mates, or with our kids, or with our friends, or with our colleagues, or with our neighbors, anybody. You welcome us. And we love to come and bask in Your presence, Lord, and share our hearts, but more importantly, to hear Your heart. And Lord, we ask for nothing less than that today as we start this journey and seeing You as our humble heart. Oh, what a great portrait, Lord. So I pray You'll give me the ability to communicate these truths well. I pray, Lord, that we will receive that spirit of humility that You have, that humble heart that You have, that's Your calling for us in the way that we walk in our journey with You and with others. So thank You for what we're getting ready to discover together. Open our eyes, Lord. Let us see Jesus. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, so over in Matthew chapter 11, 29, I find that this is the best place to start on this topic of how the Lord is indeed our humble heart, because here's what He says in verse 29 in Matthew 11. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now this is, let me give you the context. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And there it is. That's where I get this portrait name, how the Lord is our humble heart. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and my yoke is easy, the journey's light, and you will find rest for your souls. Man, I love this passage. Man, I run to this often. When I am, you know, plagued with motor mind in the night, you know how that goes. Something's going on in your life, and you're just thinking and thinking and thinking about it. It's going over and over and over again like a plane circling the airport, but having no place to land, and it's just, oh man, and your heart is just scrambled up and stuff. The Lord's, hey, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I just love this. And for those of you that are note takers, the first of our 12 takeaways, and we'll only cover three a day, is how the Lord, our humble heart, shows us that, number one, humility reflects his inner heart. Humility reflects his inner heart. You know, when you stop and think about it, this is the only scripture where Jesus self-describes his heart. I mean, if you were to say, Jesus, what's your heart primarily like? He says, oh, well, I'm gentle and humble in heart. Well, think about the significance of that, my friends. Since the goal of the Christian life is to be Christ-like, Christ-likeness. Another way the scripture puts it is to be one with Christ, or in union with Christ, or covenanted with Christ, or having our lives hidden in Christ. That means that to become humble-hearted like he is what Christ-likeness is. Isn't that stunning? But I also love how he uses the metaphor of the yoke to try to help us visualize the idea. And I want to drill into that for just a minute. You know, when I, for years, would read this, take my yoke upon you, you know, I think of the big wooden yokes that you see that are on oxen. In fact, my father-in-law was a missionary in Peru for many years, then got promoted to be the overseer of all of our missionaries and all of Spanish-speaking South America for our Southern Baptist International Mission Board. Back in his day, it was called the Foreign Mission Board. So he had 9 countries under his charge, all the Spanish-speaking countries in South America, 650 missionaries. And one of the things he would love to do was bring home to the States on furlough just some artifacts or some woodwork or by artisans there or whatever, just things that reflected that region of the world. And on one occasion, he brought back a huge oxen yoke, and it was huge indeed. It was heavy, and I can just imagine 2 oxen bearing that to pull the carts and the wood and whatever. So that's what would come to my mind when I would read this, and I would think, okay, well, the Lord's the bigger ox, I'm the little ox, so one way to apply this is to say, look, let the bigger ox carry it, and the closer you stay to him, the more the weight he will carry. But if you start drifting away from him and take that yoke with you, it's going to come increasingly heavy and you will not be able to bear it. And that's a good way to do it. It's a good way to teach it. It's one way. But then I started looking at it a different way, from a different lens, getting a different perspective. I was intrigued how he said, well, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Okay, wait a minute. There goes the big heavy wooden ox idea. It's light. He says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. Wow. And then a few years ago, as I was chewing on this and asking the Lord about that, he gave me this thought. He said, I started thinking, you know, the more that I take on his humble heart, the more I take on his gentle heart, more I receive that reality and let it just permeate my life, permeate my soul, and walk in this manner, that wooden ox is transformed into more like a scarf around the neck, just hanging down, or a muffler like in the wintertime, just wrapped around your neck and just hanging down. That's a yoke that is very, very light. And it is very pleasing from a style perspective stuff. We're talking about scarves and mufflers here. That's what the Lord intends for us, to learn that the more that we take on a gentle and humble heart, with one side hanging down saying gentle of that muffler or scarf, the other side saying gentle, so you have a humble and gentle scarf on, that's the yoke. And life will be easier, and you will find rest for your souls, not trying to be the guy or the gal who's pressing into things and pushing themselves forward and all that kind of stuff. No. We become gentle and humble in heart, and life becomes a lot more light, restful, and easy. Nothing to prove. Nothing we're fighting for. We're lost in our life in Christ. He has a gentle and humble heart. I'm reflecting that more and more. And life takes on a whole new hue. Humility reflects his inner heart. We're becoming more Christ-like. And that is a yoke that is far more easy than the yoke of the flesh, the yoke of pride, the yoke of posturing. Oh, I love that. And I love how the Lord reminds me of that. And he takes me back to this passage over and over again, saying, Hey, son, my yoke is easy. The burden is light. Learn from me. I'm gentle, humble in heart. Let that be reflected in you and through you, son. And this whole issue that's spinning around in your mind will begin to dissipate. I got this. It's okay. Humility reflects his inner heart. Well, as we continue our journey, let me take you to a second takeaway in this portrait of God about how he is our humble heart. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, if you're taking notes, and I'm going to flip there. Philippians 2, 8 says this, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Okay, now we're going to go deeper in what it is to reflect his inner heart, number one, and see in number two how humility is modeled on the cross. Humility is modeled on the cross. The ultimate expression of humility is how the Lord Jesus Christ, God-man, the one who became flesh to dwell among us, allowed himself to be ridiculed, spit upon, with a thorn of crowns smashed on his head, nailed his hands and feet to a cross that he hung on, and that he died with a spear through his side, all the time having the power to call down angels from heaven saying, forget this, mankind is not worth this. And the legions of angels could come down and stop the whole thing. But he didn't. He humbled himself by becoming obedient, enduring all of that torture because he loved us. It is the ultimate expression of humility and love with great cost, with great sacrifice. Now, we hear this preached every Easter, or at least I hope you do. I want to kind of visit this a little more and kind of look at the progression of deeply hurtful wounds that he was experiencing in his love for us. The ridicule, constantly ridiculed. The Pharisees constantly after him. constantly trying to, well, send him to the cross? Do you deal with ridicule? People going far beyond just criticizing you, but calling you names, spreading stories, circulating half-truths to make you look bad, then spitting on you. They spit on the Lord Jesus Christ and his journey to the cross. That's a disgusting thing to do. That's the ultimate insult, to be spit upon. But even metaphorically, when people begin to spread those rumors, spread that gossip, when they begin to distrust that which you stand for, that's what you have said, that which you are living, that which you are doing, and that spirit of distrust is spread about, they're spitting on your reputation. They're spitting on your heart, on your intentions. And that is so, so hurtful, and it can send us reeling. What do we do about that? The reflex is to fight back, isn't it? And when the attacks get more thorn-like, more painful, and then nails being driven in through us even worse, and then hanging on a cross and people looking at us and thinking that we're just all messed up, well, we're dying to ourselves in this process, my friends. Humility is modeled on the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. We humble ourselves like he humbled himself when we let others hang us on a cross and say, there'll be a time to deal with this, maybe on this earth, maybe later, but I'm not going to be chasing this down. I'm going to continue to live as honorably as I can, as humbly as I can before the Lord and others. So that as that begins to be seen more and more, then the words of others who are ridiculing me, are spreading lies, distrust, are casting aspersions upon me or my reputation, they're the ones who become the anomalies, the ones that are not in sync with the truth. The Lord is the one who watches over my reputation. All he asks is for us to stay by his side and walk with him and abide in him. And when people want to ridicule us and spit upon us and smash thorns upon our head and nail us to the cross, we're dying to our own ego. We're letting the Lord be our reputation. And we're continuing to do the right thing, even in the midst of all of that. You know, we're living in a very actively angry time now. It's almost a badge of honor to be angry and accusatory and finger-pointing. We're living in what's called cancel culture now, when you try to stand up for some biblical truths on themes like the LGBTQ agenda, Roe v. Wade, aborting children in the womb, and issues like transgenderism and wanting to put curriculum in the schools for preschoolers and elementary schoolers to be conditioned to accept that kind of a thing. From their vantage point, they're being enlightened. They're being open-minded and hearted to all kinds of people. They're putting them in categories of minority status in order to be protected. And now even marshaling up laws and lawsuits, you know, to try to force it. I mean, it's vicious out there. And if you stand up for the biblical realities on that, the way that we are being attacked as being unloving and Neanderthal and not understanding and lacking compassion for kids and people that are struggling with their identities and all these different ways, they cancel us out. They write you off. They ridicule you, they spit upon you and your church and all that stuff. We're living in a cancel culture that's vicious out there. And the secular world, which is actually religious humanism, make no mistake about that, 1934, look it up, the Humanist Manifesto, I think there's 14, maybe 15 statements of faith, as it were, denying God, denying all kinds of stuff, and extolling the things that you're hearing extolled now. It was all patterned out in the early 30s in the Humanist Manifesto, and they called it religious humanism then, but they knew that couldn't be spoken of or taught in the public schools, so they changed the name to secularism. And that is what we're seeing now. Religious humanism has become the norm in our culture and has created this cancel culture that anybody who goes against that is seen as unloving, unenlightened, and heartless. So, my friends, humility is understanding that there's going to be ongoing and even increasingly difficult and defiant ridicule and spit and thorns and nails and crosses and death for us as we stand for the truths of Scripture and try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't fear this road to the cross. We share in the sufferings of Christ, and it's that which bonds us even closer to Him and strengthens us as we model what it is to continue to love people and offer them the grace gospel that Jesus loves them and can save them from their blindness, from their sin, from their self-centeredness. That's the gospel message, my friends. Don't lose heart. That's what humility does. It continues even when we're on the road to the cross from all kinds of subcultures and humanist concepts, philosophies, and practices. Stay true, my friend. Jesus said, again, I am gentle and humble in heart. And He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. That is Christ-likeness. That is how we share in the sufferings of Christ, and yet, in a strange, supernatural way, can walk in joy and assurance and peace in the midst of all that, because the Savior is by our side. And so, that brings us to number 3 of our 12 takeaways about how He is our humble heart. Number 1, humility reflects His inner heart. Number 2, humility is modeled on the cross. But number 3, humility reflects God's greater grace. It reflects God's greater grace. Listen to this. James 4:6, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I know that what I was just describing about being willing to continue on the road to the cross, full of all of the disdain that's represented there and the distrust and all of those things, I know that can be daunting. However, to the degree we walk in that degree of humility, God gives you a greater and greater grace to bear it, even to thrive in it, even to have joy in the midst of it. When we're humble and we do that, He gives us this greater grace. When we fight it and resist it and try to go other ways, well, that's pride. And God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So here's a quick little checklist for you to jot down and just ask the Lord about in your next alone time with Him. So would people say you're more angry or amiable? How about it? Do you get snippy? Do you get short, curt? Are you frustrated, exasperated? Are you more amiable? Are you angry or amiable? Or how about this one? Are you more forceful or more forgiving? You know, people that are forceful, they want to force their way, they force their view. I'll never forgive that person. I was wronged. I was victimized. Are you forceful or are you forgiving? You know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or what they intended for evil, Lord, You intended to use for good. We're all works in progress. Are you an instant forgiver, or are you more forceful in getting your view across? How about this one? Are you dominant or deferential? Dominant, I want my way. I'll speak up for what I want, what I think is right. Or are you deferential, where you defer and say, you know, Scripture says that like apples of gold and setting of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. I'm going to defer to a better time to talk this out rather than to try to force it. How about this? Are you posturing or peaceable? You posture yourself, push yourself forward, promote yourself. Or are you peaceable? No, I'm content to lay back and just wait for the opportunity. Or how about this one? Are you pressuring or patient? Do you pressure people to get in line? Or are you patient and looking for the opportunities to draw them in the Lord to a better place? Are you contentious or content? Contentious people are always fighting for this and fighting for that. And are you content knowing that, again, there are seasons to take up the sword in a sense, but more often than not, are we learning to be content in whatever state we're in, and then when opportunity comes, we take advantage? Or are we pushing it, fighting it? Are we self-righteous or self-aware? Oh, when we're self-righteous, we see ourselves as being so right and the other so wrong. And I'm going to make this known, and I'm going to push this agenda, push this definition, push this doctrine. Or are we self-aware? You know, I'm a work in progress. I'm thinking this at this point, but I could be wrong. I could be slanted in my view, and I'm open to good conversation. How you doing, my friend? Well, the Lord is our humble heart. And you know what, Lord? We're so grateful that you want us to be likewise. We receive that word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you'll check out markpg.org. Until next time, fall in love with the Lord, our humble heart.